So Ashley, here we are at the end of virtual school month. We're in the last full week of virtual school month, and it's been kind of a crazy month. We've gotten to see so much of all of our schools. What do you think that we've learned from the past month?
I think we've learned a lot of things from virtual school month 21, as we've hashtagged it on our socials, but I think we've learned a lot about the types of content that people like, especially when it comes to virtual schools. Some of our highest performing posts from virtual school month have been all about people, not about a curriculum or not about academics, even though those things are incredibly important, but they've been based on people. For example, people really loved Ansley's video of her day in a life, being able to relate to her, see what her life is like. And people who maybe are skeptical about virtual school can use that as a resource going forward. You know, oh, this kid is completely normal. She just has a little bit of a different model of education. Another big hit, I think, has been Laura Ferguson's tips and tricks. We've had a couple of teachers comment and share saying how much they've learned from her. Mm-hmm. And Laura's just so personable, you know, you can't help but like her. So I think it's a valuable lesson that shows, even if you're doing something that some people might perceive as robotic, you know, everything being done behind a computer, there's still so many wonderful personalities that we get to meet while we're doing these interviews and generating this content for virtual school month. So I think making it all about the people is a good route to take.
Yeah, and it seems like that's a big deal, that, you know, virtual schools, the big similarity they have with brick and mortar schools is the people that are involved and the people that make the school.
So, the culture.
Exactly, the culture, the really energetic culture they all have. So what's the best way, since they don't have a brick and mortar, what's the best way they can actually promote if they're not all in the same place? Or continue to promote their schools?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, at the Charter Institute, we talk a lot about culture. We talk a lot about innovation. And, you know, an online school in itself is an innovation. So it might be a little harder for you to generate content because you can't necessarily just walk down the hallway and get a photo of a classroom. But what's really cool about it is, you know, a lot of our virtual school coordinators work from home. They can drop into a classroom, take screenshots, screen recordings. They can generate content from their families. They can ask for, you know, kind of crowdsourced content, asking their students and families to submit success stories or extracurricular milestones that their students achieve. So I think highlighting the fact that just because they're a virtual student doesn't mean that they're stuck at home in their bed in their PJs on their laptop all day. You know, these are real kids. They're going out into the community. They're doing charity work. They're, you know, achieving so much, whether that be in the performance realm or the athletics realm. I think showcasing that, I mean, you can't do that enough when it comes to virtual school, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it seems like what we've established is that not being a brick and mortar is not a disadvantage.
For sure.
And it seems that what you're also saying is that the best way to collect and curate that content comes from the family and the relationships
right.
you have with them.
So as much as we might want to talk about academics or the benefits of a new learning management system, you know, kind of the nitty-gritty details, I think it's important to show that behind all of those things, real people are driving those forces forward.
So with that, and if you have to have the families involved with that, how do you get families bought into it and parents bought into it? Like, I think the big one that stands out to me is the Crow family and how instrumental they've been in putting Ainsley Crow, one of our ambassadors, in front of the camera and promoting and advocating for virtual public school.
Right. I think one way to do that is find one student, one family, one story that has something incredible to share, and make that student your poster child for any period of time. Maybe it's a month, a week. I mean, we've been doing content with Ainsley for a long, long time. Make them the focus. Make sure that the content you're putting out with that person is high quality and eye-catching. So then when other students see that or other families see that, they think to themselves, well, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. why can't I be highlighted? Why shouldn't I be highlighted? And so that way they have a model to go after, and they can contact their teacher or you as the communications coordinator or their school leader and say, hey, you know, I saw this on Facebook. I thought it was great. I'm doing something similar. Can we talk about it? Can we do a story about it? You know, that's one way to get buy-in, is just leading by example. Maybe having one kid serve as the model for that. Something that I've noticed is, as we've been doing all this content with Ainsley, you know, she's our only virtual student ambassador for the Institute. And since she's been so active, we've gotten more nominations for virtual ambassadors than we ever have. I mean, we are only in year two, but we've gotten, I think, 3 or 4 this year. So her leading by example kind of sets a precedent. You know, we're going to talk about virtual school. We want to highlight it. We want to feature you and celebrate what you're doing. Another way that I think you could get families to buy in is an incentive, whether that's a giveaway or maybe a student who sends in like the best photo. You have a photo contest, the winner gets 5 points on an upcoming test or something like that. I mean, obviously that would have to be coordinated ahead of time. But I think if you're trying to get people to buy in, there's no better way than giving them something in return. And I think, you know, that could be a whole host of things. That could just be, hey, I get to share this really awesome post of myself that my school posted on my own page, and my family gets to see it, and my friends get to see it and celebrate it. But I think leading with an incentive to get people to buy in the first place and get in the habit of sending you content when exciting things happen is a great strategy. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think when it comes to everything that the Crow family's done to put Ainsley out there and kind of some other families of ambassadors and how they want their kids to be involved, and for what it's worth, all the good success stories we have of virtual families who want to advocate for the fact that their kids are normal, they're living normal lives, mm-hmm. I think it's invaluable to have families bought in that way, to know that their kids are actually given flexibility and freedom to excel beyond what they might have been capable of in a brick and mortar. And that's a great thing.
Yeah, and that's something that deserves to be celebrated, not only for the sake of the student, but for the sake of the school. I mean, virtual education, it's not been an easy road for them to get where they are, and it may or may not be an easy road going forward. There are people that don't understand virtual education, and they don't like it, and they don't want to see it continue. So something like Virtual School Month, or even, you know, as a virtual school coordinator, just your day-to-day communications efforts, they might not feel like it, but they are vital to continuing the success and the lives of virtual schools in South Carolina. That's kind of how we see it. You know, Virtual School Month is your number one chance to show off what you're doing and show that it deserves to continue.
Absolutely. So with that in mind, what are kind of some content ideas that you have for our coordinators, for our virtual schools, for what they can produce in-house to continue to promote their schools?
Yeah, I think it's a lot easier to attack creating content if you have an angle. And that's kind of the approach that we took this month. We have our 6 virtual schools, and we were excited about them, but our next question was, how are we going to celebrate all of them, but set them apart from each other? So we kind of took the approach of, let's assign a different angle to each school. What's something that they do super well that we can highlight? So like for SCBCS, they're killing the game with academics. I mean, highest performing virtual school
Absolutely.
In the state. So that's the angle that we wanted to take with them. Cyber Academy, a ton of clubs, tons of extracurriculars that are offered. So we featured Ainsley for that. Odyssey Online Learning. I mean, I don't know of a leader in our portfolio who is so close with so many students other than Ashley Owings. So that was something that we wanted to highlight. So when you're creating content, think about what angle you're coming from, what goal you're trying to accomplish, what you're trying to share, what you're trying to show. I think that's a good starting place. So maybe you want to talk about academics one day. Maybe you get a new management system and you want to share. Maybe your 5th grade student won the spelling bee and you're going to make a post to congratulate them. You have a kind of a different angle for each one. And so our full list that we went through this month, if you need some ideas, academics, extracurriculars, relationship building, your curriculum or your model, the need of virtual schools in the first place, and tips and tricks. I think that's an amazing one. We kind of took the focus more of tips and tricks for virtual educators, but having your teachers chime in with tips and tricks for their students would be super helpful. I mean, what parent wouldn't want to follow a Facebook account that was just giving them ideas on how to help their children be more successful? I think that's a great angle to take. So there's a lot to talk about when it comes to virtual education, but I think you can narrow it down and take a certain approach with every post and make something really special. And another idea that I always share with our coordinators, virtual or not, is y'all know that you go on Instagram or Facebook every day and it's a national something day, donut day, pickle day, taco day. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of them. And there's a lot of educationally based ones. So like we have virtual school month, that's something that we've created, but we also have school choice week. In January, this week I think it was American Education Week. So when you're doing your planning at the beginning of the year or the month, look into what some of those days are, because that can help you plan and generate content really, really easily.
Absolutely, 100%. And with that, something else that they can obviously generate content for is the holidays and some of the charity drives they're going to have going into Christmas and all that. But why don't you remind our listeners what exactly they need to do to prepare for that, and how they can schedule what they're doing
throughout the holidays?
Yeah, so we actually have a bonus episode coming to our communications coordinators, hopefully in December, about how you can prepare for the holidays when so many students are on break and there's nobody in the building. But I think really the most paramount strategy that you can implement is planning ahead, knowing when those events are happening, and scheduling those events using Hootsuite, Creator Studio, anything like that. A great source of content throughout the holidays are those charity drives, volunteering opportunities that Jacob mentioned. And I think it's even cooler from a virtual standpoint to see the kids coming together, no matter their geographic location, the kids coming together and the families working together to help those in need, whether that's a food drive, a toy drive. We've seen a lot of great ideas throughout the year. We actually made a video on it last year if you want to head over to our YouTube and check that out. But the most important thing is just as a coordinator, you knowing when those things are happening. If they're happening virtually, make sure you get that Zoom link. If they're happening in person and you're able to swing by and grab a couple photos, it further drives home the point that, these kids, they still get to do everything that a brick and mortar student gets to do. They're still helping those in their community. And I mean, even in that case, in a virtual student's case, they're helping people across the state. So that can be a great idea to go ahead and capture that content as early as you can, and then get it on your content calendar, get it scheduled, and then you can enjoy your holiday break without having to worry about anything going up or no one coming back to your Facebook page. But we're going to talk more about that in December, so I'll leave that in as a little teaser for December, but tune in to our next episode.
Yeah, so I've been asking everyone this question, Ashley, and I'd love your opinion on why do you think virtual school matters?
Well, you're the one who's been asking all the school leaders, so I think you should give us your answer first.
Gosh.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, my answer is definitely that it matters because of the ability for students to succeed in what they're gifted in and to have the flexibility to advance. That's honestly what I've been seeing with every single virtual student or family or even school leader that's been explaining it and their stories that they have of their students, is that so many kids are academically blessed and they have the ability to move further faster, Ainsley being a big proponent of that. And then, of course, there's some kids who just don't have a choice but virtual school because of some issues they have, like medically or some other thing that holds them back from being a part of a brick and mortar, but they are still able to have the full student experience by being a part of a virtual school. That's why it matters the most. I'm going to throw it back to you now. What do you think? Why do you think virtual school matters?
Well, I think it matters for every reason that you've just said, of course. I mean, all of our school leaders talked about flexibility. They talked about choice. But something else that I think about when I think of virtual school is something that happened just earlier this month. I mean, we had a parent that was absolutely desperate. The local district that they were in just was not serving her son the way that she wanted to see him be served. She lived in a rural area. She was having a lot of trouble with broadband and internet. She was just absolutely desperate to find something that would work for her son. And she ended up getting in contact with us. And within a few days, we were able to get him enrolled in a virtual school. And as far as I know, you know, he's absolutely thriving in that environment. So, and when I think of that story, I think about the people involved that made that happen. Every virtual educator that we've talked to this month, every virtual student, every virtual leader is just so passionate about what they're doing. They're so dedicated, and they just, you know, they would do anything for their students and for their teams. So I think in virtual schools, you have an opportunity to build a culture and a climate that really is unlike any other, and you get to see your students succeed in so many different ways. And even just featuring it for a month, I feel like we've gotten to see some of that, and it's been really awesome. And that's another thing that can drive your content. You know, what sets you apart? What makes you different? It's not a bad thing. It's worth celebrating.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm for one, really happy that we did this month and that we were able to highlight those schools.
When we interviewed Ms. Owings, I think she said it really well. She said, all schools are important, but every school has their niche. And if you're serving those students well and your model is working, then, you know, that's success. That's the goal. That's what we're here to do. We're trying to move the needle, right? We encourage that type of innovation. We love to see it. We love to see it happening for the students and for the families involved.
And with that, we're going to wrap up Virtual School Month. And I think that we have a lot of good stuff for our virtual schools coming ahead and our communications coordinators for that matter. Ashley, you wanted to remind them of something else to do?
Yeah, so like we said in our email, we're kind of test driving this podcast format as a method of training. So if you check back in the email where you received the link to this episode, there's going to be a satisfaction survey. Just if you would fill that out for us, so we know if you like this delivery method. We have a lot of fun doing it, and we hope that it provides you with some helpful tips and tricks as well as some inspiration as you're working as the communication coordinator at your school. So just let us know if you like it. We can go back to Zoom sessions, and we're not saying that we're done with Zoom sessions, but I like this format for the accessibility I think that it provides. So just let us know what you think.
Perfect. Thank you, coordinators.
Yay. Thank you guys so much.